This path is not distance, nor steps we take. It's love that carries for the beloved's sake. The journey of the heart to Medina.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Please repeat after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
Views of Madni Channel. Welcome back to the journey of the heart to Medina. Today, we've got a very packed session for you. But let me start with a beautiful blessing of Durood-e Pak. And it is related to our topic as well. Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, recite Durood-e Pak upon me, salat upon me in abundance, for it is purification for you. And what the scholars say is not just physical purification, but alhamdulillah, Durood-e Pak is such a magnificent wazifa that it cleanses the heart, mind and soul as well. So as much time as you can spend during the day, recite Durood-e Pak with the intention that, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, help me get rid of all the diseases in my heart. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Let me introduce you to my beloved guests. Both on my heart side, actually, today. So, alhamdulillah, we have Shaheer Bhai, who's with us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. And we have the one and only, the beloved Ubaid Bhai. How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Looking very relaxed in your chairs there, MashaAllah. You got here nice and early today. Alhamdulillah, we've got a number of segments for you. So we've got the journey to Medina, and then we've got a Muslim inventions, and then Dawat-e-Islami and the youth. So inshallah, we've got a lot to get through, and we're going to inshallah make a start with a short but beautiful kalam. Who's going to be reading that? Take your pick. I've got two nadkhans. Either one of you.
Rock with inshallah. I think Shaheer Bhai said he wants
Shaheer Bhai's going to do it. Go on then.
Okay, inshallah.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah
wa sallam alayka ya حبیب اللہ سچی بات سکھاتے ہیں سچی بات سکھاتے یہ ہیں سیدھی راہ چلاتے یہ ہیں سیدھی راہ چلاتے یہ ہیں ٹھنڈا ٹھنڈا میٹھا میٹھا ٹھنڈا ٹھنڈا میٹھا میٹھا پیتے ہم ہیں پلاتے یہ ہیں پیتے ہم ہیں پلاتے یہ ہیں ان کے ہاتھ میں ہر کنجی ہے ان کے ہاتھ میں ہر کنجی ہے مالک کل کہلاتے یہ ہیں مالک کل کہلاتے یہ ہیں کہہ دو رضا سے خوش ہو خوش رہ کہہ دو رضا سے خوش ہو خوش رہ کہہ دو رضا سے خوش ہو خوش رہ مجدہ رضا کا سناتے یہ ہیں مجدہ رضا کا سناتے باتیں یہ ہیں سیدھی راہ چلاتے یہ ہیں صلو علی الحبیب
صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ماشاءاللہ بیوٹیفل ویورز اف مدنی چینل وی ار گونا موو ٹو اور فرسٹ سیگمنٹ The Journey of the Heart to Medina. Sallu ala Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The journey of the heart to Medina. It's love that carries for the beloved's sake.
We discussed how the heart was central to all our life. And intentions were very important. So that you could do an action. But if you didn't have the intention, then you wouldn't get the reward. And Allah Azza wa Jal will bless you according to your intention. The better the intention, the greater the intention, the more reward you get. And then we also discussed, Shaybal, you remember that everybody thinks the intention, you think about it up here. But then we discussed in depth last week, you remember, that actually the scientists are now agreeing with what the teachings of Islam say, that really the intention comes from here. Alhamdulillah, it comes directly from the heart. Now, if the heart is dirty, if the heart has impurities, then the heart's ability to think, and I'm not making a mistake there, we have the brain's ability to think, but the heart thinks as well. And the heart's ability to think is affected. The heart's ability to make decisions is impacted. And the heart cannot see straight and lives in a fog. But the more you purify this heart, the more you cleanse it, the more you make it pure, alhamdulillah, the greater the light becomes. And it shines so bright that it lights up the path to righteousness in front of you. So today, we're going to move one step further. And we're going to discuss different diseases of the heart. Now, before we do, Shaheed Bey, we have diseases in physical diseases in life. So somebody can get the flu, somebody can have headaches, you can have aching joints, you can have arthritis, backache. And then you have the most serious complications, you know, like cancer and everything else. So in a way, you've got different levels of diseases. Yeah. Is it the same with the heart? You can have some that are perhaps will corrupt it, but not as much. And then there are others that can wreak havoc.
Yeah, so, you know, in Islam, there are two types of sins, major and minor.
Subhanallah.
So depending on that, so if a person is doing minor sins, it might not affect him as much on the heart. Whereas if he does a major sin, that will affect him more. That will cause him more disease in his heart.
Yeah. Subhanallah. One thing I've gone from that is, you know, he mentioned these minor sins of the heart, but in reality, they shouldn't be treated as minor, because it is these minor sins that compound, they build up. If a person becomes habitual upon them, it's that what causes these major sins, these major diseases of the heart to start creeping in. And like you mentioned before, there's two types of diseases as well. You know, when you mentioned the disease of the heart, actually, when I was doing my research as well, I started off by doing a quick Google search, diseases of the heart, and it came up with, you know, blocked arteries, heart attack, this, that. So there is different types of diseases. And just like, you know, you have your blood pressure that can build up and eventually lead to something more serious like a heart attack. You have sins in the heart as well, spiritual diseases that again, they build up and they join and they lead to something.
I'm sure it's a very good example, because I was referring to general bodily diseases, but actually there are a whole host of diseases just of the heart. You can have the blocked arteries, you can have, you know, rhythms, heartbeats all over the place and different things. So mashallah is a very good example.
And
so,
Harun Bhai, you know, like just like the heart attack, it doesn't happen immediately. It builds up slowly. Similarly, the heart, it gets affected slowly. You know, like I mentioned the narration, where a person does a sin, one black dot is placed on his heart. Then slowly the heart becomes fully
dark. That's a very good point. So it's not like, you know, you commit one sin and suddenly your heart gets dark. It's over time that it builds up and darkens the heart. And I suppose it comes back to this, that, you know, a lot of people, sometimes their hearts have been impacted so much by these little things that it's blackened. And so you explain things to them and you think it's fairly straightforward. And yet to them,
it doesn't
sink in. And you think, hang on a minute, this is obvious. And it's because their heart is so hardened and so darkened because of those series of sins over time. And I suppose the other thing we need to mention there is that, you know, we all sin. We all make mistakes. So what's the difference between the person who makes a mistake, has the black dot, and say, you know, I make mistakes, I have black... Does it just carry on building, or is there some sort of solution to it as you go
along?
I
think there's something beautiful about the fact that it doesn't just straight away happen. Like Shahib, I said, the black dots, they build up slowly. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is, in a way, He's giving you a chance. You know, your heart isn't already hard already, isn't gone fully dark already. So when there is a few black dots, you still have the chance to do tawbah. Even if it's very black, even if it's, you know, your heart is very dark, it starts to speak, there is still the door of tawbah is always still there. So the fact that, you know, it builds up very slowly, in a way Allah is giving you that time. He's giving you, you know, you can say that blessing that, you know, it's not too late to turn back. You can always go back to Him.
You say tawbah. What do you mean?
Tawbah means when, in reality, the scholars have mentioned, you know, different parts for tawbah, but in essence is when you feel remorse for a sin and you ask for forgiveness, and after that you make a sincere intention not to go back to that sin. In the heart.
Subhanallah. So sincere repentance in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, being embarrassed by what you've done. So it's being God conscious, but not being God conscious here, but it's being God conscious here.
In the heart, mashallah.
Allah Azza wa Jalla, you know, Ya Allah, I've committed this mistake. And you know, somebody, you might commit a sin, and this is the beauty of this relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Creator, that nobody will know, but you know, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows, you repent sincerely. You don't even have to speak the words. In your heart, you feel remorse, you feel shameful, you ask for forgiveness, and you say, Ya Allah, forgive me this time, I will never do it again. And that is repentance. And so the next logical step is that if you carry on repenting, then every time you make the mistake and the black dot appears, it will then clean your heart. So shouldn't we then be repenting regularly? What did Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about repentance?
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself, although the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was ma'soom, and it was impossible for him to commit sins, he did it to teach us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every day he used to do istighfar. Allah. Why? Just to teach the ummah that we need to do istighfar, so it cleanses your heart.
But it's like, you know, it's amazing system that Allah has created through His mercy, that, you know, we commit sin, and then all we need to do is really repent sincerely, and He will wipe the slate clean. I mean, how amazing is that system? It's almost like you take a loan every day, and then in the evening you say, will you forgive me the loan? And Allah Azza wa Jalla's, you know, mercy knows no bounds, says, okay, go on, maybe they start again. SubhanAllah, how amazing is that? So today, what I wanted to do was discuss and make our audience aware of some of the diseases, because we all hear about diseases of the heart, but if you're asked to identify them, it's very difficult. You know, some people may come up with some common ones that we've heard of, but today I wanted to give the viewers of Madni Channel an overview of the types of things that fall into this category. So how big is the list, first of all?
The list is quite big when I was looking at it as well. Do you want me to mention a couple of...
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, the list you were looking at, probably I was looking at as well, when we were doing the research. So, Amir al-Sunnah Dhanal Barakatum al-Aliya writes 47 sins of the heart. And there are other scholars who have written a lot more. And yet, it's our life, it's our heart, it's our mind, it's our soul. And what baffles me is how we can go through life without knowing about these sins. Because our whole point is, we want a heart that we can take to Medina. We can present in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the fundamental precondition, so to speak, is to purify the heart. And if these diseases are there, but how can you protect yourself against a disease you don't even know is there? I suppose it's fundamental to learn about those. So enlighten us, what's the first one you've got there?
So I'll start with the first one, which I think how it all started with shaitan and stuff.
Allah.
Ego and pride, arrogance. I think this is the first one I would like to talk about. Because shaitan became shaitan, why? Because of his ego. He said, I am better than Prophet Adam alayhi salam. Shaitan used to be the leader of the angels before. Obviously, he was made of fire. He had to prostrate to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. He said, no, I am better than him. This was his ego that took him from being the leader of the angels to the cursed one, to the shaitan.
So the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla was that Allah Azza wa Jalla said, I have created Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, all the angels and everybody prostrate. And all the angels went into prostration immediately. And the scholars actually write that in the order, Hazrat Sayyidina Jibreel Amin was the first and became the leader of the angels. Right. And Azazil, as he was then called, he said no. And he had different names in different heavens. But the famous one is Azazil. And he said, no, why should I? And forget what it was, but this was the command of Allah Azza wa Jal directly, and yet he refused to obey Allah Azza wa Jal. And so this disease that he had in his heart must have been so strong.
You know, if you see how strong it is, Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned this story in the Quran, and even in the Quran itself, Allah has cursed the shaitan as well. You know, he had that much pride in him. And, you know, it comes back to what we were saying at the start. Allah has blessed us that much, you know. For us, you know, we may have pride in our hearts as well. But, you know, the amount of curse, you know, the curse shaitan got in the Quran, Allah hasn't cursed us. Allah still blesses us every day. Allah is still giving us these chances every day that, you know, you are my person, you are my worshipper. He'll keep on giving us a chance. Okay, some people think that, you know, this happened to just shaitan. Allah Azza wa Jal will definitely not accept it if I do a tawbah. That's not the case. Allah Azza wa Jal is the most merciful, the most kind. And I just want to follow on from Shahibai. He mentioned the disease of pride. And following on from that, another very prevalent disease we have is riya, showing off. Allah. And this follows on from pride. You know, when a person has this ego about him, he thinks, you know, he's 10 mentors to speak, and he thinks he has a lot of weight in this world and he can do what he wants. This is pride. And he goes about to show. And people, there's different types of pride as well. There's pride, you know, within the worldly sense, and there's pride, you know, within the Islamic sense as well. You know, when people read their namaz and they like to flaunt that to others, this itself is a disease
showing
of the
off.
Heart. Yeah.
Showing off. I mean, each of these diseases deserves a full chapter in books on itself.
Definitely.
And inshallah, viewers of Madinah Channel, we will be dedicating a program to each of these. But today, I wanted to just run through them for us to appreciate the depth of this potential danger. You know, when we go to an electric cupboard and it says, don't go anywhere near it, 240 volts and you could get electrocuted and you'd be killed. We don't go near it. These diseases, we don't even realize. Some of them are conscious, but some of them are subconscious. Mm. And so not knowing, you could be thinking, you know, I'm doing this the right way, and you could be totally wrong. So we've mentioned ostentation, pride, arrogance to an extent, showing off, and ujub, conceitedness, thinking I'm something special. That's another one. Where, you know, and it comes back to the shaitan again. I mean, he thought he was something special. But today, we have this problem in our society because, you know, when somebody gets a good job, somebody gets a bit of money, they think, well, this is me, my men, and everything. And, you know, there's a beautiful example. And if it was intellect, and if it was ability, and if it was skills that got you where you are, you wouldn't have these managers of these owners of businesses who can't even read and write properly, with computer engineers and accountants and, you know, people with 20 years, 30 years of experience working under them. Because it's not about your intelligence, it's about what Allah blesses you with.
Definitely.
So if somebody sat in that chair, the director's chair, thinks, this is all me, then I suppose that's ujub, that's, you know, conceited. That's basically thinking, this is all down to my skills.
And Harun bhai, there's a beautiful saying in Urdu, jise main ki hawa lagi usse na dawa lagi na dua lagi.
Allah,
this main meaning me, I am better than everyone. This is worse than anything possible. And shaitan today is the cursed one. And there are many examples, like Firaun, he had pride as well, that I am better. Mm-hmm. He even claimed to be God as well. Musalma Kazab, all these examples, Allah Almighty made them living examples. Today you can see Firaun, how his body is still, you can see, intact. He's a living example for the people that this is what happened, that people have ego and pride in themselves.
SubhanAllah. We're going to move on because we've got quite a lot to cover. There's now the disease that they say is the first sin, the first disease. Because when Shaitan Azazil refused to prostrate to Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, Allah Azza wa Jal blessed Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam with great status, and he couldn't handle it. He came back.
Sorry, Harun, I'm interrupting you. But another point to mention here is that the sajda which Allah Almighty commanded back then, it wasn't the sajda of ibadat, it was a sajda ta'zimi, sajda of respect, and shaitan still refused.
Allah Akbar.
Whereas obviously in our sharia this sajda was forbidden, but it was sajda of respect, just to show respect to Sayyidina Adam.
And that happened in previous civilizations, previous ummats.
Yeah.
They could do sajda to their Nabi as well. I mean, the glorious Quran tells us, they say, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, and you know, the beautiful story in the glorious Quran. But the first disease, so I suppose, obviously he refused because of pride and arrogance. Allah Azza wa Jal told him, go, you're cursed, threw him out of Jannah, and Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam gains this great status. Now Shaitan is thinking, he doesn't deserve that. How dare he get that?
Now another disease comes in.
Which one's
Hasad,
that?
Hasad, jealousy.
And this disease of jealousy in the world, if you look around, it wreaks havoc. And the scholars write, it was the first real disease, because he was burning inside. He couldn't handle that Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam had got such a high status. But, you know, coming back to the shaitan, basically what he was saying was, Ya Allah, you've blessed Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, you know, and given him a higher status than me. He doesn't really deserve that. I deserved that. Mm. He should lose that blessing. This is what one question that I've always thought about, you know. Hasn't Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, just to the very perception that he may have done something that may have displeased Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the scholars write, there was no intention, there was nothing like that. But just that thought asked for repentance. Why didn't the shaitan turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla and say, Ya Allah, I made a mistake. I should have prostrated to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Please forgive me. Allah Azza wa Jalla, being the most merciful, would have forgave him. But what was it that stopped him? It had to be the jealousy in his heart, isn't it?
Definitely the jealousy that he had for shaitan. And you can see, you know, if you read the Quran, Alhamdulillah, I've read them ayats, and you know, shaitan, he does try, you know, to get himself out of it, you can say. But Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, because of how much jealousy he had, how much envy he had, you know, this is a lesson for us as well, you know, that this envy, especially to the prophets of Allah. And it's so beautiful how, you know, every single disease we've mentioned all links back to this one story.
It's one story on the shaitan.
Always come from.
Did you
and
know?
All of these and are, you know, lessons for us from the Quran. Allah has put them for us. So it's definitely something for us
so
to learn.
So much to learn.
And Harumbai, remember a narration comes into my mind where shaitan, he asked Allah Almighty for forgiveness. He had a second chance. And Allah Almighty obviously told him that even today is valid, but you need to prostrate to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And he still refused on that second time.
I was just coming to, we're on the same wavelength, because as I did a silsila during Ramzana, so I remember from that. He came to the court of Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and he said, okay, you know, can you ask Allah to forgive me? So Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, being the amazing prophet he was, he said, Ya Allah, you know, shaitan wants to repent. Allah, obviously the all-knowledgeable, said, Musa, I'm prepared to forgive him, but tell him to go and prostrate to the Roza Mubarak, the Qabr Mubarak of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, you know, being the kind-hearted, he came back and said, we got it. Shaitan Azazil, all you have to do is go and prostrate to the grave Mubarak, the Roza Mubarak of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, and Allah will forgive you. And he said, I didn't prostrate to him when he was alive. Do you think I'm really going to prostrate to him? And his true colors came out. This was shaitan. So Arun, quickly moving on, because we've got to get through quite a few today. So that is jealousy. Now the next one, hatred and malice.
Again?
It goes back to the same story. To the master of all these diseases, I suppose.
Gee.
Hatred. I mean, let's describe it for the viewers of Madni Channel. What are we talking about when we hate and we have malice towards somebody? It may be obvious, but...
For example, you see someone has a high rank and you might not be on the same level, or you might be a bit lower, and you might start hating towards that guy, that why is it him? Why is it not me? Should have been in that place.
It's a very fine line, I think, between...
To jealousy.
Between jealousy and hatred.
And they breed into one into the other, don't they? I think hatred, what Amir al-Sunnah describes it as, is malice for another human being, and you think he's a burden upon you, you grudge him, you despise him, and you persistently look for faults in him because you hate him from the heart. And inshallah, when we go into this in detail, we will be able to talk about, actually, there are different levels of hatred. Different types of hatred, different types of malice. Some of them are conscious, some of them are actually subconscious. You will be doing an action and you don't even know why you're doing it. But if you sit down and think and analyze and do tazkiyah, as they say, you'll realize that I only hate this guy because the shaitan has put hatred in my heart for some other. It might even be, and honestly, this is the scary bit. It might even be that he does qira'at of the Quran and knows me, like, you know, a person starts hating him for it because the shaitan has messed with the brain so much. So I'm looking forward to, you know, all these sessions on these individual diseases. Then you've got the next one that Amir al-Sunnah writes is desiring praise, hubbul madah. This is today's day and age. What do we look for on social media? Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. All we look for is ticks and likes. I want people to like me. I want everybody to have this perception of me where, you know, I want that praise. Everybody thinks I'm it. Praise. And it destroys people. You know, and desiring praise these days, it's a common thing.
Again, it's very, very similar to showing off as well. You know, desiring praise, you know, it might be something as, you know, something like, I pray my namaz 5 times. And you'll often see it as well. You see, I've seen it with kids in the madrasa. You know, when they're praying their namaz, and I've seen it once, you know, when the end of the month was coming around, we have the student of the month at the end of the month to give, you know, certificates and praise to the students who have been the best. So I've noticed one or two students at the end of the month when they're reading namaz, you know, khushu, khuzu, everything, you know, they're perfect, locked in. You can hear the tajweed coming from them. But the rest of the month, you know, they're all in a rush, everything, because they know what's coming. So this, you know, you're obviously the kids, they're learning. And in a way, you can say they don't know yet. But again, it's from such a young age, something so small as that. But obviously, if you think about, you know, adults, you know, they're also guilty of the same thing sometimes.
Yeah. Running out of time quickly. But yeah, desiring praise. Then the next one is desiring fame. I mean, when I read these, I think these are written for today's day and age. Because, you know, every time, you know, you upload something, all people do, some people all day long, is they go back and check how many views they've got.
This is due to this day and age, due to social media and all these platforms, I think it has become more common.
More common?
Everyone wants to become famous, viral, and I think it's quite common nowadays.
There will be, Shaheed Bhai, people watching us now thinking, I didn't think there was anything wrong with that. What's wrong with desiring praise or wanting to be famous? That's a good thing, surely. But if you keep watching, inshallah, when we analyze this particular disease of the heart, you will see the dangers of it. And not only are we going to highlight the dangers, but inshallah, Azza wa Jal, with the help of the great sheikhs, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi, Sayyidi Ghose Azam, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi, all of these great sheikhs, these great pious predecessors, we will actually try and give you solutions to cleansing your heart from all these diseases. We've got a few minutes left. Definition of desiring popularity. So I suppose that is mixed with desiring fame as well. Then you've got the killer. Oh, Allahu Akbar. Love of the world.
Allah.
I mean, we've done beyonds on that topic. You could write a book on that on its own. But in a nutshell, what does that refer to?
I think one thing about love of the world, that this love, you know, it completely encapsulates a person. And it's one of those things, like, it might seem minor to some people, you know, so what if I want to earn, so what if I want to live a lavish lifestyle? But again, it's like the example Shaiba gave of the black dot. It's one of those little black dots that will lead on to all of these other black dots to come into your heart as well.
And it's not wrong to, I mean, a lot of our great sheikhs, you know, Hazrat Sayyidina Usmani Ghani radiallahu anhu was wealthy. You know, Sayyidi Ghose Azam radiallahu anhu had businesses. Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi was a businessman. It's not about that. It's when we have this mindset, I need to buy that car, I need that house, I need this luxury, I want that thing, and I want it so bad, I don't care about Sharia. I don't care about halal or haram. If to get it, I have to sacrifice my salah. So religion takes a secondary role and your love for the world takes precedence over the love of Allah.
Harun Bhai, you mentioned the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum. But if you look at them, when time came to give the wealth, they would give all of their wealth. If you look at Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhum, when it was time, he gave his entire wealth. The Prophet ﷺ asked him, what do you leave for your family? He said, Allah and you are enough for him.
Allah.
So when it came time for that, Sahaba Ikram, they gave the entire everything. But If you look at today, this day and age, when you go to ask people for zakat, it becomes a burden on them. Like, oh, I need to give this much zakat. I don't want to give it. They start making up excuses.
I want to get through two more before we stop. And inshallah, next program, we're going to carry on from here. Because it's very important, before we go into detail, that we present that, because all of these diseases are diseases that normally we don't hear about. This next one is really important. I've seen this happen. And I'll give you the example, and you'll never forget this as a sin of the heart. I was sat at a Fatiha, somebody passed away, and people sat down, and Imam Sahib came from our local masjid. We read namaz, Jummah behind them. And a few of us got up, we did istiqbal, we sat him down. Everybody else carried on talking and doing their own thing, right? Then a rich, wealthy man came, right? And Ghalib Human was that, you know, he may not be, you know, even the type of person who prays regularly, right? Yet people stood up, gave him so much respect, so much, you know, honor, that you thought, hang on a minute, our Imam just walked in. Mm. And this is what Amir al-Sunnah has written, respecting rich people. This is actually a disease of the heart because you're respecting them because of their wealth and status. And this is a sin of the heart and a disease of the heart. Allahu Akbar. Allah. The next one is the complete opposite. And this is the final one we'll do today. You know, two people come into the room, one I've described, and he gets so much respect. And then you have a pious man who prays his salah, earns halal, and, you know, is nice, but he's poor. And we don't give him time of day. We think he's not worth it. He's not worthy of our company even. Some people even go as far as, and obviously arrogance and pride come into this, and he shouldn't be sat at our table. Why? Because he's simply poor. And this is another disease of the heart that the scholars have kind of found and discovered and identified that can really damage a person's iman. Because you're respecting the rich and wealthy because of their wealth and their status, and you're belittling the poor person because he's got no money, and yet the poor person could be 1,000 times more pious than the rich one. And why, forget their status, why are you doing it? Because there are these diseases.
And Harun bhai, you know, the more wealth you have, the more accountable you will be on the day of judgment. Now, if you look at a poor person, it's been mentioned in narration that poor people, they will enter paradise 500 years before other people, meaning wealthy people.
Allah.
So if you look at it in that way, they are winning in this world.
Allah. It just reminds me, it brings me back to that couplet I started with last week. We all want to reach that high status where we are very spiritual and we're connected with Madinatul Munawwara and we're connected with Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and we are connected with our supplications with Allah Azza wa Jal. But our heart is full of disease. We didn't even know existed. Chahte to sab hai ke ho oje suraya pe mukim. We reach that high level. Pehle vaise paida to kare koi kalbe salim. You've got to work on this heart and produce it. And where did that couplet come from? It came from the glorious Quran, the ayat we read last week, Surah Ashura, verse 88. The day whereupon neither wealth nor sons will avail, except he who comes to Allah Azza wa Jal with a sound heart. And a sound heart is where these diseases are identified and eliminated. Or if as humans we think, well, we can't eliminate them, to reduce them, control them, and try and protect yourself from them. Viewers of Madni Channel, today we've learned about just 10 out of the 47 that Amir al-Sunnah has copied in this book. There are other great scholars who have identified more diseases. But my question to you today is this. Did you know about all these diseases? Do you think about them on a daily basis? Do you analyze yourself to see whether any of these diseases exist in my heart? Because these, as our learned guests have very eloquently described, go link back to what the shaitan did and his entire life story. This was his mission. This is why he instills these in our heart, to distract us from the path and to misguide us. But if we don't know his weapons, then how are we going to tackle him? The first thing that we need to do is identify the diseases of the heart. Once we identify those diseases, we can purify it. And once it's purified, it becomes in a beautiful state where light enters and spirituality enlightens you and brings you to that next level. You know, for years people say, you know, I read namaz, I do this, I do that. I don't feel that spirituality. And it's because together with all the actions you're doing, these are all these diseases sit in your heart. We go and do Hajj, we do Umrah, we do everything else. And yet we don't change as people because we've done nothing to get rid of these diseases.
It's very, very difficult to identify these diseases of the heart.
Inshallah, that's the mission of our program.
It's even more difficult within a person himself to fix them, because sometimes they are, like you said, they're subconscious. You don't even know that you're doing it. But that disease is very much inside
the person. I'll tell you why I'm confident. The reason I'm confident that inshallah in this series we're going to help our viewers to identify these diseases and look at the cures is because we've got the greats of Sayyidina Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi helping us. Ihya ul-Ulum is such a great book. You know, even it's studied in Oxford and Cambridge in different departments. Mm-hmm. And you know, when people read these books, they have said that it is as if the great Shaykh is in your mind and knows exactly what's going on.
Allah,
so that's a prelude for you for what is about to come. I have to move to my second section. Muslim inventions. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The journey of the heart to Medina. It's love that carries for the beloved's sake.
Now in this section, we're going to look at Muslim inventions. Alhamdulillah, if you look at the history of Islam, it was the teachings of the Quran and the teachings of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which brought the world out of darkness and into the light of Islam. And it wasn't just the teachings in relation to religion. Aka Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teachings were so magnificent, and the companions and what the early Muslims did and the research they did and the sciences they presented, that the basis of your modern day culture and your modern day scientific discoveries is all upon those scientific papers that the Muslim scholars wrote. So in this section, throughout the series, we're going to bring you Muslim inventions that will shock you. Let me tell you one. Right from the beginning, one thing that humans have always wanted to do is measure time. Time goes on. They've had sundials, they've had different ways, they've had beads, they've had everything else. The one invention that single-handedly changed how we look at this time that passes, how we measure it, and how we synchronize our lives with it was clocks. Mm-hmm. Have a wild guess who invented clocks then.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah.
Muslim scholars. Muslim scholars, they discovered that they looked at all the different methods that ancient civilizations had been using to try and measure time. I thought, this is no good. And they actually built and designed the first clocks that the Muslims had. And they had the Arabic numerals, and they've put all the dials together, the mechanisms together. It was amazing. And they invented these clocks that we have today. And the next step up from that is the digital ones we wear. But it all, at the basis of it, was them. Now, somebody might be thinking, well, now we're on to digital clocks and everything else. Let me help you there. Inshallah, in one of the future programs, we're going to cover this. But your digital clocks, these computers, these phones, everything is based upon algorithms. Algorithms, algebra, this is how it all works, yes? Look at the basics. Guess who invented algorithms? Muslim scholars. They actually took, and it's amazing, if you read up on the history, they actually took the early Greek texts from the libraries of Andalus. They studied them and said, this is where they'd made all their mistakes. They rectified those mistakes, set the foundation for chemistry, physics, maths, biology, and everything else, and gave it to the world, and the world went from there. This is how amazing it is. Muslims invented clocks, subhanAllah. And then the second Muslim invention. If we can have the second caption. This is truly remarkable. And Amir al-Sunan Dawud Barakatul Aliyah wrote a book on this very early on. And it's the wuzu, cleanliness, the tahārat in Islam. Now, what you've got to remember is that at the time that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed this world, there was no concept of cleanliness. And yet, in Islam, right from the beginning, Muslims had to wash themselves 5 times a day in order to pray. Mm-hmm. They had to wash their face, they had to wash their hands. They had to wash their, do masa and wash their feet, the full wuzu. They had to do maswak. It was a beautiful sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, today, in every household, you know, the household that hasn't got toothbrushes next to the sink, you think, hang on, how can that happen? But actually, this wasn't the reality. It was Islam that brought these acts of cleanliness And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a famous hadith of Barakah, isn't it? That cleanliness is half of Iman. Ji. Subhanallah.
MashaAllah. What I'll mention is, you know, like you mentioned wuzu, I'd encourage the viewers of Madhi channel to open the book, Laws of Salah, and read the chapter about wuzu and science. You know, this book is taught in, you know, madrasa, it's taught in, you know, different places as a basic for fiqh. And this chapter, you know, it's often overlooked, you know, because it doesn't have any severe faking or anything. But it's such an eye-opening, you know, back how many hundreds of years ago, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah commands us in the Quran as well to do the four forms of wuzu, they're in the Quran as well. And, you know, subhanAllah, the scientists, you know, recently are now discovering new and new things, you know, to say, look, if you wipe some so insignificant, you might think as wiping the back of the neck. You know, in this book, it tells you, how much weight that has on a person's health. Wiping the back of the neck, it's very, very, very useful, you know, for, you know, problems with the neck, problems with the back as well.
Psychiatrists have used it. In that book, it says psychiatry, basically the back of the neck contains the stem. This is where all the nerves come from your brain down into your spine and all the way through your body. And when you do the massage of the back of the neck, it refreshes it. And it gives you strength, subhanAllah. And there are so many, I mean, even simple things here. You know, people didn't cut their nails in the olden times. And the amount of filth that you got beneath the nails. And yet beautiful, you know, sunnah of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to clip the nails. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged, people didn't used to comb their hair. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the world, you know, this is a, you know, there was one person who appeared and Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he'd be a lot better if he went and combed his hair. And all of this, and from a society in a world that lived in filth almost, you know, Islam introduces cleanliness. And we see in modern Europe today and everything else, this drive towards cleanliness and, you know, brushing your teeth and having attar on and everything else. Actually, we trace it back. Its roots lie in early Islamic history and in the teachings of the Quran and the beautiful teachings of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how amazing our Islam is. So Muslim inventions, clocks for today, and taharat. Cleanliness was something that Islam gave to the world. We've only got about 3 or 4 minutes left. We're going to move to our final segment for today. Salu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu.
The journey of the heart to Medina. It's love that carries for the beloved's sake.
Yeah, we've only got a couple of minutes for this section, but what I wanted to talk about very briefly was, alhamdulillah, in Dawat Islami, what we have is the Pious Deeds booklet. And in the Pious Deeds booklet, you're encouraged every night to kind of take accountability and look at your actions and kind of, if you need to repent, as we've said, repent. If you need to kind of build yourself to do better good deeds, you can do that. Can you explain, Shaheed Bhai, very briefly, what the Pious Deeds booklet is and how our youngsters can especially benefit from that?
So Pious Booklet Deeds is a booklet which Amir al-Sunnat Maulana Ilyas Qadri has given to his disciples, or anyone can use it, to be honest.
To those murid who follow.
Yeah, to his murid. So to be honest, if anyone wants to use it, even they can. It's a booklet where you take self-accountability of what you have done every day. So on there, he might have maybe, for example, have you read your 5 daily Salavi Jamaat today? So every day you go through these points. And I believe,
and it's good deeds, and it's bad. So have you been backbiting,
yeah,
things
have
like
you
that?
Been backbiting?
So if you've done something wrong, you might think, yeah, I did do that. Yeah, Allah, please forgive.
So that includes the heart disease as well.
So heart disease.
One thing to know, you know, for the bad deeds, I looked at the Pious Deeds book. It came in the Bayan this week, and Amir al-Sunnah, whenever he mentions the bad deeds, he always says, "Did you avoid?
Allah,
did you prevent yourself from doing it?" He's given us almost. He's given you that mindset. You know, you need to stop doing it. You need to prevent yourself. And, you know, it's a very, very good tool for a person to take accountability of their day. And it's one of the most vital parts about identifying these sins in the heart as well.
Where can I get it? If I want to kind of have this, it's about 5-10 minutes every night and it will change your life. Where can I get it?
So you can get it. We have, alhamdulillah, free physical copies as well. And you can get it online as well. The app is called Nek Amal. And you can just download it off the
Play Store. So if you go to the Play Store now,
Play Store,
you can download
app,
it.
App Store,
and
whatever.
Every night you can tick it actually. And yeah, it comes up as red and green.
So
and
it comes in for every day for each month, obviously. For example,
every
February
night.
1 to 28. Every day you go through each. Have I done this today? Have I not? You tick it. then every day you go through that.
Subhanallah. Because there's, how many are there? There's maybe, there 70, was 72, 50, there was, there's different ones. There's different sisters,
56
63.
Daily ones.
56 yeah. daily ones.
You don't have to do all 56. You know, if a person say, oh yeah, I have to do all 56 questions, it's going to take me ages.
Just start with life.
Start with even one.
Allah.
Then build you up to three. Then build you up to five. And then slowly you'll find out, you know, just by singling one out, maybe every week, you know, by the end of the year, you've covered 52.
And the reason I'm smiling is the first one is about intention.
Mm.
And what is intention related to? The heart. Full circle views of Madni Channel, alhamdulillah, we've come. I leave you with this, that one of the most potent ways of cleansing the heart, and what I wanted to leave you for the action of the week till next week, and every week, inshallah, at the end, we'll leave you with one action that you can do to try and speed up this journey of the heart towards Medina. The hadith of Barakah that I started with, purification of the heart by reciting Durood e Pak. Try and make it a habit to recite, you know, 1,000 times a day. You will see the benefits and you'll be amazed by them. If you think that's too much, you can't handle that, 313. If you think that's too much, at least 100 times. You know, simple Durood e Pak, sallallahu alayhi wa Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just like that. That's two Durood e Paks there. Now, if you were to recite that, it'll take you 1 or 2 minutes. Make it a habit of at least 100 Durood e Pak every day and watch how that cleanses your heart. We've run over time. Alhamdulillah, it's a very jam-packed session. I hope you enjoyed it. For the journey of the heart to Medina, inshallah, where we will be carrying on looking at these diseases and knowing that these exist so that inshallah we can protect ourselves from them. The whole mission here is one. We want to connect to Medina in such a way that when we die, our heart, our body could be anywhere in the world, but our heart is in Medina. Ameen bijahi Nabil Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
This path is not distance, nor steps we take. It's love that carries for the beloved's sake. The journey of the heart to Medina.